koutou, te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Kia ora and welcome back to the show. And yes, you're right, it's time for the Scorpio Books Spotlight. And we've just been talking about vintage books.
Yes.
Because you found like a really vintage.
Found a really vintage book, like do you, 40 plus years old.
Do you know what book it is?
Yeah, it was I, Claudius by Testus, I think it is. It's just like a large penguin, but I just found it because it was cool.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I don't know what it is about old books, but there's a charm to them.
Yes, and now we're completely changing the vibe of book that we're talking about.
Yes, because it's a brand new book.
It's pretty new, and it's a manga, so, you know, going from classics to manga is a bit
Hey, you haven't been here for a while. You haven't done a manga.
No, I haven't. I'm very excited.
It's nice of you being. Anyway, we should acknowledge that. Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm very happy to be back.
Thank you so much for coming in. And yes, we got manga, and something about dungeons?
Yes, so it's Delicious in Dungeon by...
Delicious
in Dungeon.
I love that name.
Ryoko Kui, and it's... I'm so excited to talk about it. It's been one of my favourite series for a while, and there's just been an anime released, so I finally have an excuse.
Yeah, great. Okay, let's get into it.
Yeah, so it starts... This whole, like, beginning of the story starts when the entrance to a strange underground dungeon appears, and a man who claims to be the king of a fallen kingdom emerges. He promises his crown to anyone who can defeat the mad magician who led his kingdom to ruin. And then he crumbles to dust. And then we flash forward and we meet our protagonists, which are these lovely folk on the cover. They are fighting a dragon. And then as the dragon is about to wipe them all out, one of the members casts a teleportation spell to save the rest of the party, but she's eaten in the process. And Lyos, who's the dude in the suit of armor on the cover, he is determined to return to the dungeon because the girl who was eaten is actually his sister. But the entire party lost all of their like bags and all of their stuff in the dungeon when they got teleported out, so they've got no money for rations. And so he sort of suggests an unorthodox solution, which is to eat the monsters that they fight in the dungeon.
Yeah, right. Is that why he's holding a pan and a spatula?
That's why he's holding a pan on the front. And it sounds like the beginning of a gag manga, but it's clearly had a huge amount of work and thought put into crafting it, and it sort of turns into this, like, really intricately detailed fantasy world.
It is?
It's really cool. It's taking a lot of inspiration from like RPG games and Dungeons and Dragons, and the monsters and the layout sort of follow that same style where you descend further downwards and each floor has like a different biome to it, and the monsters get more dangerous as our characters travel further.
Yeah, right. This is wild.
It's really fun. So the makeup of the core group follows RPG and D&D tropes. It starts with Lyos, who's the human fighter, and he's kind of the de facto leader. Then there's Marcel, who's the elf mage, and Chilchuk, who's like basically a hobbit, and he's the rogue, except he doesn't do any fighting, he just does like lockpicking and disarming traps.
Right,
and then
okay.
As they explore, they make friends with this dwarf character whose name is Senshi, and he essentially is this like encyclopedia of knowledge about the monsters of the dungeon because he's been living there for years. And that's not the only characters that we meet. Like, as the story goes on, we meet so many different characters. And my favorite thing is that everyone is unique. They all have, like, different faces, different builds, different heights. They have different hair. All of their clothing is completely unique, which is very fun because even in some, like, manga with beautiful art, everyone has, like, the same face.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can totally get how that happens.
Yeah.
Everyone's quite cute in this.
They're really cute, yeah. And, like, the only time you ever see a group of characters who all look similar is there's this sort of group of characters called the Canaries, and they all wear a uniform, but even that is, like, visually distinct, where they all have their own little personal touches to
add their sense of style. Yeah, wow, that's really impressive to do that. Yeah. It's really impressive.
And then, like, the character writing is also great because it feels a lot like they're just a group of co-workers who have become really close friends. Like, they all have their little specialties that they focus on, but then they also roast each other constantly because some of them have really weird ideas. One of the main right. sources of humor is focused around Laios's obsession with the monsters, and then Marcel, who's the elf, she is completely repulsed, which leads to a running gag of Laios and Senshi sort of suggesting ingredients, and Marcel is disgusted, and then Chilchuck's just sighing in the corner waiting to get back to work.
Yeah, right, right.
But even like even the monsters have had a huge amount of detail and love that's gone into designing, and it's just unreal. While inspiration has clearly been taken from D&D and folklore and like video games, the author has added behavior and biology and other unique quirks to each and every one of them, almost treating them with the zoological lens.
Yeah, there sort of is.
Like, we sort of, in D&D and fantasy stuff, a mimic is generally, like, it's a treasure chest which has these big teeth on it, and when you open the treasure chest, the mimic just bites you.
But yeah, right.
In this, they're sort of reimagined as large hermit crabs that live in these chests and move from, like, treasure chest to treasure chest until they're in a cabinet. Like, that's such a strange twist on it, but it makes sense in context of the story. And so you'll sometimes come across a familiar monster, and then you're just like, oh, which direction is this one going to be taken to? And I mean, after all the work that's gone into the art and the characters, it would be a bit of a letdown if the story itself wasn't good, but it really doesn't disappoint. It has one main storyline throughout the entire series, which is Laios and the crew are trying to rescue and, if they need to, resurrect his sister after she was eaten by the dragon. But as the story develops, you sort of uncover the origins of the dungeon, and the stakes get higher until a really gripping conclusion that just had me on the edge of my seat. But although it gets intense, it never loses track of the main appeal of the story, which is the interesting food ideas and the sort of fun dynamics between the characters. It really maintains the sense of camaraderie that's between the party, and the wonder that Laios has about the dungeon and their complete desperation to save his sister. And even the humor stays top-notch. Like, in the last couple volumes, they're really still roasting Laios for his weird obsession. Even during the climax, which, you know, if you're in a really high-stakes situation and then everyone's being a bit goofy, it sort of helps to relieve the tension and keep things pretty light and stop you from getting stressed out too much.
Yeah.
It's really perfect for anyone who wants to, like, read with the feel of a D&D game, like, wanting the perks of the fun art and the fun world building and the character design. It sticks to its chosen path, but it really executes it perfectly. It doesn't really do anything crazy, but what it does do, it does really, really well. It's almost completed. I think the last couple of volumes are coming out later this year. It's only a 14-volume run, so it's relatively short. There's also this really cool supplementary volume that has some really fun art and background info about the characters that we encounter throughout the series. I got curious and sort of thought I would have a look if the author's done any other stuff. And while she's released a couple other short story collections and she has an insane amount of art, this is her first full-length series.
Oh, right. And oh, wow.
She's just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, by the sounds of it. Absolutely.
And it's perfect for anyone who's looking for a fun fantasy book or is just a fan of D&D. Hence the delicious dungeon.
Yeah. I love that. It's hilarious.
And it's so utterly unique. We are unfortunately out of stock of volume one, but we have a bunch on order already, and this is the perfect time to take advantage of the ordering system that we have at Scorpio. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just come in and snag yourself a copy for the future. Thank you for letting me ramble.
I have been wanting an excuse
to talk about this so much. I love it so much, and I hope that people who go out and have a read of it love it as well.
I get the relief of, like, finally talking about something you've wanted to talk about for a while.
This is my brother's fault. He got me into this series, and then I kind of just got lost in the source and read the entire series in very crazy night where I stayed up until 3 a.m.
God, okay, wow. wild. But better than staying up till 3 a.m., like,
playing video games.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Also, I was just going to say, your ordering system's really good at school.
Yeah, no, it's real easy. If you
very efficient.
Come in, and then we'll let you know when it arrives, and you have, it's like a little present waiting for you to come and collect.
Yes, exactly. And I've used it like that a few times. It's nice that we pick me up, you know. Hey, thank you so much for joining
me
this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be back.
I haven't had you in ages, so it's cool to have you here. And you absolutely nailed that book review. That was
good.
That was brilliantly done. So have a wonderful, wonderful day.
See you later.